Let's pray. Father, we come before you today, and we praise you for your goodness in every way through for salvation through Jesus Christ and his shed blood, the forgiveness of sins, redemption, a way, Lord, that we can be completely right before you, and we can live our lives in a way that pleases you, and we can live our lives in a way that makes us very, makes them profitable and good for the people around us. We praise you, Mighty One. Pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us these very, very clear words of instruction in your word in Luke 6 and in Matthew 5. Thank you. Praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. A seminar on godly living. If I were to invite you to a seminar that promised to make you like your Father in heaven, would you consider that a seminar on godliness? Or if I invited you to a seminar that instructed us in ways to live like the Most High, would you consider that a seminar on godliness? Well, here we are today presenting a quote-unquote seminar on godliness directly routed through Jesus' command to love our enemies. Would you turn in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 6, verse 27? Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Now, you know, if I was going to have a big promotional and if I was going to have a seminar and I was going to have try to get a lot of people to come, you know what I would not talk on? Love your enemies. That would not be up there. You can just see sometimes when this subject is brought up and people saying, I hope he's not talking to me. Like, don't make eye contact. Don't make eye contact. But here is Jesus. And you know what's interesting is he begins this text. But I say to you who what? To hear. But I say to you who hear. Now, there's a very real sense Jesus is not speaking to everyone, is he? What he's saying, he said, some of you are listening, but some of you are there and you hear the words and you could recite that to me, but it's not penetrating. The first thing that we'd look at this morning is actually listen to Christ. Now, I did something interesting, as I'm prone to do when we're having a topical study, as Love God, Love Your Neighbor is, and we're not going through a book verse by verse, that I'll have a section of scripture like I have this Luke 6, 27 to 36, and I'll see what's behind it and I'll see what's before it. Well, what's before it's pretty interesting. If you go back to verse 26 in Luke 6, it says, woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. Now, at first, that was a little bit interesting, but the more I thought of it, I thought, let's read that again. But woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. Who do we listen to more? Do we listen to God? Do we hear the voice of God? Is the voice of Christ, do we hear that above all else? Or do we listen to the people around us? Jesus says, woe to you, he said, because you know what? We can have people telling you, say, oh, you are so wonderful. Oh, right on, brother. Amen. You've got it. And you can have large crowds sucked right in there saying, yes, this is it. You've got it. Preach it, brother. You know, Jesus kind of says, big deal. It's what your fathers did to the false prophets. What's that telling us? The false prophets who were very unfaithful to God, who were very unfaithful to the Word of God, who were unfaithful shepherds. You know what Ezekiel and other places in the Old Testament, what God spoke to the shepherds, to so many of these, the unfaithful prophets, these false prophets that it's speaking of here. He said, shepherds, he said, I'm going to get rid of you. You fed yourselves. He said, you're fed yourselves. He said, you didn't feed my beautiful flock. You didn't feed the people, the sheep of my hand, the people of my pasture. He said, you fed yourself. And sometimes in a leadership position, we can do that. We can have a message and we could say, well, I just can't hardly wait to hear the compliments. Boy, I'll preach this and I know that this will strike a chord. Well, who are we listening to? Who are we listening to? And even when it seems, okay, this is good, this is solid, I listen to this radio program or I listen to that. Well, can you bring that radio program? Will those words, will they submit and obey? Can you bring that? Can you audit those words of that person or that group before the words of Christ? Will we let the words of Christ rise above? Or do we, sometimes what we want to do, sometimes when it's love your enemies, we want to do these. It's like, boy, I'm glad we're only 1 week on love your enemies. You know what I found is, well, you know what, next year we might just spend the whole month of January on love your enemies. Well, probably not. Although the thought crossed my mind. And I think I'm just, okay, I am a little silly. Okay, I'm a goofball, I realize that. And you think I may be being a little silly now. But I think when we get into this text a little further, you'll kind of see what I mean. Here's one interesting thing along that line. A little bit ahead of ourselves, but not too much. You know, last week it talked about loving our neighbor. Remember that message? That was it. Love neighbor, love God first, and then love our neighbor. You know what Jesus didn't do? Now, he did bring up the lawyer, the religious expert brought up because he was trying to justify himself and he wanted to define the terms. And he said, well, who is my neighbor? But you know what Jesus didn't do in the text of love your neighbor? He didn't tell us how to love our neighbor. You know what Jesus does do in the text, loving your enemies? He tells us how to do it. He tells us how to do it. I was like reading this and it's like, wow, I could have had a V8. Hadn't thought of that before in that way. I mean, I had seen that specific instruction, but we just keep going. This is something else God did. I'll just tell on him right here before you. I'm going to tell you what God did. I had a direction for this message. God just pushed me out of the way and just took off with it on his own. Can you believe God? It's great when he does that. But I did have a particular direction, and God said, you know what? And the more I looked at this, and it's like, wow, God. But Jesus said, what did he say? Here it is, verse 27. But I say to you who hear. Now are we listening? And you know what? Is it a suggestion? We've covered this for a couple of weeks, right? Is it a suggestion? Come on, I see some heads nodding. Somebody tell me, is this a suggestion? Is it a command? Who's talking? Are we listening to him? You say, but yeah, but man, it's like so many things that they seem unpleasant when God presents them to us. And we think, if I go for that, man, look the direction that that's going to take me. Now just think about that. The Lord's my shepherd. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You ever wonder how he leads us in these paths of righteousness? Are you with me on this yet? Has it clicked yet what I'm saying? See, we are just so great at filling in the blanks and not really listening to God because, oh, leads me in the path of righteousness and boy, we got this going and we got this going and we got this going. What does God say we should have going? Now, there's other places where it speaks to that, but here's a really good one. Could it be that this is one very powerful way that God will lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, that our shepherd, we will actually let our shepherd lead us. The bad shepherds were feeding themselves. Now we've got the good shepherd who will feed us. He commands us, love your enemies. Will we eat it? Will we do what God says? That's a tough one. It's a tough one. But it's like a lot of things. If you ever had something that, you know, I did not like cottage cheese when I was growing up. Now, see, the funny thing is because some people, you know, we had the thing with broccoli with the one President Bush. I think it was the older one. And, ooh, broccoli. I think those people are a little crazy. I love broccoli. But, you know, but we'll have something like that. It's like, oh, I hate broccoli. I don't like broccoli. and don't want to like broccoli. But with cottage cheese, I always wanted to like cottage cheese. It looked so good and people made it look, I just didn't like it. And finally, I started eating some of it. Finally, I really like cottage cheese now. It was an acquired taste. See, sometimes we wonder why we're not tasting God. God's not speaking to us. We don't have this forever perspective. You know why? Because we're eating the same old stuff. We're not eating the things that God would give us. Maybe it doesn't taste so great. You know what I eat a lot of? Humble pie. Oh boy, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I ever really liked the taste of it, but you know what I really like? I like the enrichment. I like the benefit. That God could take someone like me and he could do wonderful things. And it comes to, like, I eat a lot of humble pie. Ask forgiveness, get my direction changed. And God's speaking, and it's like, oh, yeah. See, it's that path of Jesus that I talked about. We've been talking about that back and forth kind of for a couple of weeks. We want to say, well, do this, do that, this rule, this principle, that moral. Jesus, let me call you to a path. See, we really could present a seminar on godly living just right here in this text. But I say to you who hear, to who are actually listening, love your enemies. Now, our minds can run, and we can think, sometimes our neighbor is our enemy. We've talked about that a little bit. Boy, I've got to know, you know, there's one, it's, boy, some of the neighbors, it's like, yeah, you're right. Humanly speaking, you're right to detest that person. That person's a jerk. You're right. Humanly speaking. But will you let the Lord lead you? He said, love that person. It gets worse, too, if you don't like this so far. It gets worse as we go on in this text. The method, the command, is to be implemented with specific instructions, starting in verse, second part of verse 27. I told you it gets worse. Do good to those who hate you. Dave, are you crazy? Well, I am. I'm silly. I'm a goofball. But Dave didn't say this, folks. Dave didn't say this. I'm a foolish person left to myself. I truly am. Dave didn't say this, so this is good stuff. We got to get past all these things. But if I do that, oh, they're going to take advantage of me. And boy, our minds start running. And if you would listen to Christ, I think he'd just stop it. Billboard truths. You see that on your study sheet. Trust and mercy. We're going to get to mercy later, but trust. All through loving God. Love God first. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. These underlying truths that come about, and one of the big ones is trust in the Lord with all your heart. God's got this. He really does. But you know what? You won't find out if you don't trust him. And then we want to break it down, and what does it really mean, do good to those who hate you? Well, let me just continue. Verse 28, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Now, one or two of you I've heard is that, where is that text, do unto others before they do to you? Now, that's not quite what it says here in Matthew 7:12. Not quite what it says. Makes more sense humanly speaking. We even get a sense of gratification from that, gratification of revenge and that, but boy, it just doesn't give us that joyful, glad, exultant spirit of walking with God. We could take these things, and we're not going to break this all down, and we could go off, you know what, we could forget the main point of this text, and we could just take off, and this is done a lot of times in a Bible study. To our shame, this is done a lot of times in a Bible study. We could go off, and we could discuss to one who strikes you on the cheek offer the other also, and say, well, now in our times, well, now in our culture, well, you know, this was 2,000 years ago. Do you really turn the other cheek? Well, if you turn the other cheek, do you do it once? One guy, he said, and I can't remember if he was spoofing or if it really happened, but he said he turned it once and the guy hit him again, so he put the hammer on him. I don't know if God tells, you know, are we listening to God? That's the point. So if we're going to err, if one of you come up, pop me one. I guess we'll find out if I can turn the other cheek, won't we? I hope I can. You know, I guess some of these things were just, they were kind of in my life when I started walking with the Lord. But when it really came was junior year at Moody Bible Institute. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. He who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. And it really started taking a grip. And I really started listening to God on these things like love your enemy, love your neighbor, persons near and in need, love that person, practice mercy. I'm 62 years old. 33 years I've been working this out, sometimes very poorly. And sometimes I do really well. Because just the great blessing, the reward that comes from this lifestyle, we're going to get to that too in a little bit. And I've told you before, you may not remember, I remember this. So you can say something. You can, well, I don't think you'd curse, but, well, some of you might. There's one or two of you I have my doubts about, but you might. But you might say something mean or you might say something vengeful. Now, I'm not encouraging you to do that because that'd be sin that you'd need to confess. But I'm not going to try to get you back. Insult me. God says don't pay back with another insult. God willing, I won't insult you back. So go ahead. If you want to take advantage of me, go ahead. Because I'm not going to stand up for myself and try to get you back. But you know who's going to breathe life into me because of that lifestyle? I'm not bragging. You guys know I'm not bragging. Hope you know I'm not bragging. This is not look at me. I'm just saying I've been on this path for 33 years trying to work these principles out. I'm telling you what happens. God comes in. God heals your wounds. God gives you strength. God gives you joy and peace that the world cannot give. And we try to implement these things in our own way, and all we know is the scripture verse, peace that passes understanding, but we don't know that truth. Well, here's direct path to knowing and living that truth, specific instruction. Over in Matthew 5:44, and these are parallel, there are a lot of difference in them, but 44 in implementing says, pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who persecute you. Also, Jesus says in Matthew 5:43, he said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Yep, that's all for now, folks, yeah. And your enemy, verse 44, but I say to you, you've heard that it was said, but I say to you. You know who that group is sometimes that you heard that was said? Now, maybe not this specifically, but sometimes this specifically. I remember that at Portage and that my associate pastor and his wife, and she'd work sometimes during the holidays especially on a job, and she was talking about that she worked in an office in this conflict. She said some gal gave her a hard time. She said she didn't know who she was messing with. Well, I wouldn't want to mess with her. She looked mean, yeah. Not a very good Christian witness. She's probably pretty good taking care of herself. Who do you want taking care of you? You want you taking care of you, or you want God taking care of you? See, God will really do it. You know something I've struggled with lately, too? God's stretching my faith. You know, our son's a mess. I'm not going to get into details, but you guys know that. And it's just anguishing to us, and I really struggle putting him in God's hands. Not Lee. Lee's not here this morning. He's not feeling well. I mean, our youngest son. And he's a beauty. And I love him. He's got so many good things. But he's not walking with God. And I just have to come back and I say, Lord, I say you're sovereign. I say you're omnipotent, all-powerful. Say you're all-loving. Say, bring my request to you. Pray about everything. Worry about nothing. All these things I believe about you, Lord, help me to truly believe them and trust him, Sean, in your hands. You guys probably have some of those, don't you? Probably have some. I've got more than one. I'm not going to tell all of them. Help me to trust. Help me, Lord, to trust you where I believe. Help me to do that. Well, this is a way. There's a path here. This is a really good place to be in this. The method, the command is to be implemented with specific instructions. And again, last week, Jesus didn't tell us how to love our neighbor. But he's telling us how to love our enemy. You know, some of these things we could even implement toward our neighbor, couldn't we? Because no one lives perfectly around us. So if somebody does something bad, what do you get them back? Well, you can get them back if you want to live according. You know, we have we sing, this is my Father's world, but do we live in it? We're going to, and I think it's going to be very powerful. After this message, we're going to sing the Lord's Prayer. And we make statements, your kingdom done on earth as it is in heaven. Anybody familiar with that truth? Heard that before, that Bible? We've heard that maybe once or twice, right? Well, what about when Jesus gives us a command to love our enemies, and we just make it a suggestion? Or we just spiritually hold our breath, mentally hold our breath until I shut up and you can get out the door and you don't have to hear this stuff about loving your enemy anymore, and we don't do it. Are we really wanting things to be done on earth as it is in heaven? You see our disobedience? I mean, do we really want that? Now, am I saying this is easy? It's not. It's not. You know, one of the things that was difficult for me, because you guys haven't seen it. Thankfully, you never will, but I can get really angry sometimes. And when I get angry, I want to get back. I worked in a gravel pit. Ooh, you talk about difficult sometimes dealing with that anger. And what would get me, and sometimes in other situations, and you just want to, and it's like you're trying to live this out, and it just about would bring me to tears. And then that's embarrassing, because then they think you're a wimp. And you just really like to just, you know, oh, sorry, that was get thee behind me. But you know what I'm saying, don't you? Was it worth going through all of that? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We think, this is my Father. You start living. It's like this kingdom. It's really there. The kingdom of God. You know, some people, you know, folks, we profess Christ for years, and yet we have no confidence in this salvation he's brought to us through Jesus Christ. We have no assurance. I believe assurance and security are different things, but we have no assurance. And well, a lot of times that's because we're living by mere human ways. We're not on the path of Jesus Christ. The Lord's my shepherd. He's not leading me because I'm not listening, because I'm disobeying him. But when he's leading us, when we're obeying him, this is a different world. Well, here's the world it can be. Let me just go back to the Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 45, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. Any of you, don't raise your hand, because there's probably more than one guilty party. You come into a room, or you see a certain person in a room, and you give one of those. We had a truck driver, we called it. It was his death stare. He said, yeah, old such and such. He'd give you the death stare. He wasn't pleased with you. You ever do that as a Christian? You're going to show them. You're upset with them. I'm having a hard time giving a mean look this morning, but you get the picture, right? Or just come in and not faking it. We're not talking about faking anything. How about living in a place where you can say to the people that you love, here comes the sun. and to the people who disappoint you, to the people who hurt you, and you say, you know what? Here's the sun. The sun shine on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. So you're not withholding. You're in that place before God, and it's a real place. If you believe the Bible's God's word, it's a real place. If you're in your mind, you're saying, but in the real world, then you don't believe the Bible's God's word. I'm sorry. You might intellectually assent. It's right here. It's a real place where you can be. Do you know why you can look at the people who dislike you and still care for them like that? Because you see them more as God sees them. You start seeing them less as a threat, less as a competitor. Because God's taking care of you. It's like you're playing a game of Monopoly and somebody comes along and kicks the board over. Big deal, it's a game. Didn't change my life. Some people, they get so competitive in their games, you might get a black eye doing that, but you know what I'm saying. Okay, back over in our Luke 6 text. Magnificence. Third point. Magnificence. Obedience to the command is greatly rewarded. Verses 32 to 36. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? Now, see, we have our definition of love. We have mere human love. A mere human love loves people who love us. Mere human love gives to people who will appreciate it. But they're not like people, see if I can find it. And I can't right there. But in one of our texts, here it is, verse 35 of Luke 6. Let's just read verse 35. Let's just start in verse 33 and read through the end. How about that? Verse 33. And if you do good, do those who do good to you. If you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is, and here it is, this is the one I was looking for. All that other is really good too. This is one that just popped out. He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Have you ever had somebody, you did something good for them, you were generous toward them, and you say, well, they were ungrateful. Not going to do that for them again. Again, don't raise your hand because there are probably several of us here guilty. Oh, I said don't raise your hand. What am I doing here in front of everyone? You want to be like God? You want to go to our seminar on godly living? This isn't promoting financial irresponsibility. It's not. Like I say, before we get into a sidetrack and start figuring, well, now this person's coming up for a loan. I mean, you know, if Gerald comes up and borrows $5 after the service, I've got to give it to him. You know, and then if he comes up and he wants another five spot after the annual business meeting, I don't know if I can trust him to get it back or not, but I got to loan him another five spot. Okay. Don't try to just figure it out where we go off on these things so we disprove the main point. And what is that? The big billboard truth. One of the big billboard truths. There's more than two, but two of them. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What's the other one? Verse 36. Isn't it great how Christ speaks to us and how God writes it down for us? Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. See, we can try to figure all these stuff out. Are we trying to figure it out so we can obey Christ more, or are we trying to figure it out because we're like that religious expert last week? Lord, would you define the terms so I can wiggle out from under this? The Message says so I can find a loophole. The Message translation. Are we trying to figure things out? Are we studying the Bible so God will have our ear? You know, in Ezekiel 12:2, he speaks of ears to hear but hear not. In Jeremiah 25:3-4, you have neither listened nor inclined your ears to hear. Mark 4:9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 4:23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 11:15, he who has ears to hear. Jesus says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. There's great reward. What is that reward? You will be sons of the Most High. Sons of the, will actually live as we are in Christ. To be actually be able to live as a child of God, live as a son of God, live as a daughter of God, not waiting until we get to heaven. We're on this earth and things don't go real great. But we can live as a son or a daughter of God, not because of some positive thinking nonsense, not because we whip ourselves up in some excitement and frenzy, but because we're on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And this is the kind of thing that God does for people who are on the path of Jesus. That's this great reward, is true godliness. It's not a stuffed shirt, and it's not a nose stuck up in the air. It's when Jesus speaks, I get it, and I live it. And our life starts looking more and more like the life of Christ. And for that, some people will love us and will draw them to him. And some people will hate us and want to kill us and hurt us like they wanted to kill and hurt him. Conclusion. Do we know that path? The path of true godliness? The beginning mark of that path is, beginning part of that path is coming to Christ, going through that narrow gate, believing in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and receiving his gift of eternal life. But, you know, Jesus said, I came that they might have life, John 10:10. They might have it more abundantly. And the reason we get life, but we don't find the abundance part, because we receive God's truth to receive the gift of salvation, but we don't keep receiving his truth. We keep listening to so many other voices. We say, oh, well, they're good, and look, they used Bible verses, and look, it's Christian radio, or look, it's Christian television. Is it the voice of God speaking, though? Because a lot of it's not. So who are we listening to? How is the Lord your shepherd leading you? You know what I mean by that? How is the Lord your shepherd leading you? Is he leading you in ways like this? Jesus says, here, I want you to go. He will take us to places we would never choose. God will take us to places we will never choose, and you will be so thrilled to get there and to be there. Again, been there doing that, that God will take me to places. We'll eat humble pie. We'll have to confess a sin, whatever that might be. I would not have chosen door number 3. Door 1 looked much more attractive, looked much easier. It looked less hurtful. Jesus says, door number 3, who am I going to trust? Is the Lord your shepherd leading you, or are we just singing the songs and quoting the scripture verses? The ladies are going to come forward, and we're going to sing the Lord's Prayer. And our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom. Are you living in that kingdom? And the power. Is that where we are? That kingdom, that power? Or are we hear the evening news and we're cowering? We read the newspaper headlines, or we have our homepage come up, and the headlines on our internet page, and we're just filled with fear and dread. Or is it, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever? Forever doesn't start later in heaven. Forever started, and it keeps going, and it's now. living in reality. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd will have you on that path of insight and strength and courage. Will we ever be afraid? You better believe it. You know what you do then? You trust God. You trust God. Glory forever. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? We're going to pray and then we're going to sing. How about that? Father, speak to us. Help us to sing this song with the power and the beauty that it was composed, both the music and this scripture. Praise you, mighty one, in Jesus' name. Amen.